Praise the Lord. Just one or two more things in regards to the announcement I made earlier on. The two house fellowships that will come out of Canive will be South 1A and South 1B. Okay, so the pre-existing one will be South 1A, and then this new one will be South 1B. Praise the Lord. Then the other thing that I need to let us know is that as we register us for the conference, as we register for this coming conference, by the special grace of God, we are going to be approaching us, some of us, to play roles there. They may need you to help in ushering. They may need you to help with different kind of things. Okay, so please, we're saying it now, so that when we get registered and the meeting takes place, we encourage as many of us as possible who already works here to also participate in that big program. And I believe that the Lord will bless you as you do so in Jesus' name. You see, it's never like it until you are part of it. If you just go there and sit and watch, you don't really feel it until you're actually part of it. In fact, on the last night, when there was going to be a ministration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and people were asked to come out, can we give an estimate of people who came out to be ministered to? It will be between 300 to 400 people. It was so much so that, in fact, those of us pastors who are not part of the thing were actually called to help minister to people. You know, it was that big. You know, so next year, by the grace of God, you'll be part of it, and we are believing God that God will use that to turn your life around for good in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for a glorious opportunity like this to come to your presence. I've always said that it is an opportunity and it's a privilege to be associated with you on my part. Lord, that which would change our testimony and make us a former or a next believer, Father, that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Our Lord and our God, we pray that we'll be able to run the race you have set before us and run it in a way that will be worthy of your reward in Jesus' name. Thank you for your grace upon our lives. We thank you for your presence here today, because I believe that every life that is under the power of my voice shall be transformed and not just reformed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. I want you to open your Bible with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7, 6 to 10. We're going to read Deuteronomy 7. I'm going to read verse 6 to 10. You know that for some time now we've been looking at different spiritual generations, different types of spiritual generations, and today we are going to continue looking at them. We've looked at generations of God seekers and praisers, and I think that was the last one we looked at. We've looked at the sign-seeking generations. We've looked at the perverse generations. By the special grace of God, today we are looking at the chosen generation. The chosen generation. Deuteronomy 7 verse 6 to 10. And I will read. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he will keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generation, and repaired them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hated him, he will repay him to his face. And of course, we cannot talk about being chosen without talking about 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. That tells you that you are a chosen generation, a peculiar people, and a holy nation, and that the reason you have been chosen is so that you may show forth the praise of him who has called you. Your life will show forth his praise in Jesus' name. Chosen generation. This is something we say all the time. Something we read, something we know and say all the time, that we are a chosen generation. What does it mean to be chosen? It's a very common word. And I tell people, I say life is about choice making, isn't it? Everything about life is about choice making. Every day we are making choices. Praise the Lord. For example, if you choose not to make a choice, if there are two things, if you choose not to make a choice and you ask to choose, and you choose not to make a choice, what have you done? You have made a choice not to choose something. Praise the Lord. So there is no way we are making choices. We either choose to actively make a choice or we passively make a choice. So every time and every moment, every day of our lives, we are making choices. Do you know that this morning, some people chose not to get up from the bed? Am I right? You chose to get up from the bed. Do you know that this morning some people chose not to brush their teeth? You chose to brush your teeth. Do you know some people chose not to have a shower and they still go out? Everything about us is what? Is choice making. And we are told that God himself made a choice. So in a way, is part of us. Making choice is that aspect of us that we have taken from the Lord, because he too made a choice. He's always making a choice. Nobody forced him to send his son to die on the cross for you and I. Did anyone? No, he made a choice to redeem us. He could have allowed us to perish, but he made a choice. And the children of Israel were told that their knowledge of God, their special position with him, was not because of their own choice. It was because God chose them. And of course, to choose means to select. In other words, there are options. And the other thing we need to be aware of is that life is full of options. In psychotherapy, now we're going to a bit of psychology and psychiatry now. One of the things I tell people is this. The reason we get frustrated in life, maybe this will help you or help someone, praise the Lord. I said the reason we get frustrated in life, the reason we get angry is why? Do we know why we often get angry? Do we know why we get angry? Behind most frictions, behind most misunderstanding and anger is what? Is choice making. And I will tell you how. Do you know that if you know 101 ways of doing something, if somebody comes to you and say, can you do this for me? And you want to do it, and he says, no, I don't like you to do it that way. What do you think you will do if you know 101 ways of doing it? You simply choose another method, isn't it? But what happens if you know just two ways of doing it and you choose to do it this way and he says, no, I don't like it. You choose to do it that way. Yeah, I don't like it. What's going to happen next time? Eh? You'll be angry because you are frustrated because your choices are limited. Because you have exhausted your choice. So, when it comes to choice making, there's a selection from several things that are available. When you are talking about choice, you are talking about being preferred. So, to pick by preference. Do you know that you can be qualified for something and yet you may not be taken? Am I right? Huh? For example, they may say, Australian government may say, look, they want more engineers in this country. But over the next 10 years, they want 1,000. And so, they will only take 100 per year for the next 10 years. Praise the Lord. You may have the right qualifications. If they've taken the 100 they want to take, they may not take you. Not because you are not qualified, but because they are looking at whatever criteria they use. Maybe who submitted the application first, who did something first, or whatever. So it's to be preferred. Another word for choice is elect. It's also to want or to desire. Of course, it's about making a choice. So, in order to be chosen, it means a third party is involved. So there's a decision-making process, despite your qualification, like I said earlier on. And this is where the grace and the power of God comes into your life. That God can choose to put his mark upon you so that you fall into favor, not out of favor. Every time there's a choice to be made, you will fall into favor in Jesus' name. Of course, to be chosen means to inform, because there is no point if you are chosen. Say there's an admission or a job and you are chosen, and they don't inform you that you have been chosen. Is it any use to you? No, you have to be informed. is also to be informed that you have been chosen. And that's what we are doing this morning. To inform you that you have been chosen. Because being chosen has an implication. And the implication of your being chosen means that you are being separated from the other people. Each time, I can only talk about this country that I know, so please, apologies. Each time the Nigerian football team wants to play, maybe there's an international match, they will quickly gather them, put them in camp, like every other team will do. They put them in camp. Don't mind the fact that they didn't qualify for the African Nations Cup this year. Okay. They put them in camp. Maybe they need like 22 people. They may choose to put 35 or 40 people in the camp. And out of these 35, 40 people, what do? They choose some, the 22 that they want. And what happens? Immediately those that are going to be chosen are chosen. What happens? The others that are not chosen do what? They have to go. So they are separated. And being chosen also means something. Once you are separated, then you come under the rules that governs the camp. I remember in those days, I don't know how many of us will remember him. I think they used to call him the Nigerian Maradona. You know who I'm talking about. This guy was very, very gifted. Young man, probably 17, 18. I can't remember how old he was. Was very, very gifted. But one thing about him was that he never kept camp rules. Do you remember him? Etimesen, yes. One day he left the camp at night. What happened to him? He was shot by armed robbers. They wanted to take his 505 because he didn't stay in the camp. He had been chosen to be part of the camp and under the rule of the camp, but he would always leave. In fact, he was the greatest Maradona that never was because his dream died. How did his dream die? I think he went to Belgium. He went into drugs. He went to Belgium. He was accused of rape. I think they had to smuggle him out of Belgium. Because he will not stay within the rule of the camp. Your dreams will not be aborted in Jesus' name. So in other words, it is possible to be chosen and still not make it. You will make it in Jesus' name. I've told us that one thing, one of the similarities between us and God is that God has given us that willpower to make choices. And that every day we are making choices over the life of our children, over our marriages, over our homes, over our finances, over our health. We are making choices every day. Praise the Lord. Something just occurred to me now. Anyway, every time you are chosen and you are in that camp, because you come under a different rule from the one who is not chosen, you have come under a different authority. The one who is not chosen just walks out and he does what he likes. You that you are chosen, maybe they choose to drug test you, you know, just to make sure that you don't disgrace your country. They choose, you know, everything. They even check how much you eat, what you eat, and so on. So, in other words, you come under a different rule. And what is a kingdom? Is the sphere of influence of a particular sovereign power. In other words, who exercises influence over you tells you whether you have been chosen or not. So if you are under the kingdom of God, God will exercise influence and sovereignty over your life. When we are talking about fruitfulness this morning, we were told that the hallmark of fruitfulness is obedience. And that people will know where we belong or the tree that is that has produced us by virtue of the kind of things that the fruit we produce. Again, I will refer to the conference I went to. You can't believe the kind of sermons that we were hearing about people, you know, actually touching on life and living a life of holiness in terms of practical things, the way we live our lives. You know, in those days, people just cover it and say, grace. I've told us, if you're in this church, you will have known what the role of grace is. Titus 2, verse 11 to 9 to 11 or something like that. You know, that tells us that the grace of God teaches us to do what? Deny every form of ungodliness. And not only to deny them, but to rebuke them. So the grace of God is a teacher. He will teach you in Jesus' name. Jesus had to make a choice. In Mark chapter 3, verse 13. We've looked at that before. Jesus made a choice. Of all the people that were following him, what happened? Somebody said he chose 70. And out of the 70, he chose how many? 12. And out of the 12, he chose 3. And out of the 3, he had 1. So much so that Peter, when Peter wanted to know the mind of Jesus as to who was going to betray him, what did he do? He spoke to John. He said, please ask him, who is it amongst us? And John what did John do? He put his head on his chest and said, Master, who is it? I said, boy, the one who is going to dip with me is the man. Praise the Lord. So not everyone knew, but John knew, and probably Peter, because he was close to the one that Jesus was close to. The Lord will choose you in Jesus' name. In fact, he has chosen you. You will not lose your position in Jesus' name. Of course, like I've told us, we've made choices before. The course of our study, where we live, who to marry, what to eat. That is why in our choice making, we need God to guide us. And God will continue to guide us in Jesus' name. In fact, we make choice as to when to talk, when to be quiet, who to serve. Joshua said to them, he said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. He said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And when I was in the bathroom this morning, and I remember, you know, I was just thinking about this in my head, and I said, Joshua was so lucky, wasn't he? That he could say boldly that as for me and my house, we are going to do what? Serve the Lord. But even when Jesus started his ministry, do you know Jesus could not boldly even say that? That as for me and my house. Am I right? I go to the book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 30, downward. He couldn't even say that, because at that time, when people didn't even know what was happening to him, you remember he said his mom, his brother, they were the one who said, please help us catch him. This guy is going mad. So, for Joshua to have been in a position so bold as to say, look, as for me and my house. So, in other words, if you are still serving the Lord with your house, it's a very good place to be. And the Lord will continue to strengthen you in Jesus' name. Because it's so important. In turn, when we choose who we are going to serve, the one we are serving gets to recognize us. That authority begins to recognize who we are. And the kingdom or the province, the camp, provide for our needs. How many of us take time to read what is written on our international passports? They will say, this is a citizen of this country. He's a citizen of maybe the Commonwealth of Nations. And we seek that you assist him in any way that may be necessary. I'm not quoting verbatim, but something like that. Because you have come under the authority of that kingdom, not only is the kingdom responsible for your well-being, the kingdom ensures that wherever you go, that that hand of fellowship that that kingdom enjoys is also extended to you. You will enjoy the influence of the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. And more importantly, you expect security. One of the reasons that many of us want to become citizens of Australia is because you know that if for example, something happens, even way back to the country where you come from, if something happens, they will come and take you from there, provided you haven't committed a big crime that you can't be, you know, be bailed out. Say there is war, they will come for you, they will come and pick you up. Because when you are under a kingdom, that kingdom has to provide protection for you. It goes without saying that when you remove yourself from a particular kingdom, you are no longer covered by the power in that kingdom or the power of that kingdom. We'll talk a bit more about that. And of course, we know who does the choosing. Can you open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 to 7? Jeremiah 1, 4 to 7. We know who makes the choice. We know who has chosen you. We have just read it, how God said that he was the one who has chosen the children of Israel. Jeremiah 1, 4 to 7. I want you to tell your neighbor, you have everything to gain when you stay within the kingdom. Can you tell your neighbor, you have everything to gain when you stay within the kingdom? Please remain within the kingdom. In Jesus' name. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, said the Lord. You are not a happenstance. You are not an accident. Where you find yourself now is by design. It's by my action, not by my reaction. He said, I have placed you where you are to do something for me, to fulfill certain role for me. In other words, you are where you are right now to be playing a particular role and fulfilling certain things. Is this not sounding like being fruitful? Praise the Lord. You are there for a particular reason. That place of work where you are there for a particular purpose. And oftentimes we are so preoccupied with our own agenda, not realizing the one who has chosen us and placed us in that place. In fact, John 15:16 even puts it better, clearer than that. He said, I have chosen you. I have chosen you. You have not chosen me. In other words, Jesus said, I have called you. You have not called me. Why do I need to emphasize being chosen? I need to emphasize it because it basically removes from you and I the ability to glory, the ability to glory and gloat. Because God told the children of Israel, look, I did not choose you because we were so many. He said, in fact, you are the fewest of people. And God gave two reasons why he chose them. What were those two reasons? He said, because the covenant he had. And two, because he loved them. He said, because I love you, and because I have made a covenant with you to them that are faithful to him, up to how many generations? 1,000 generations. And will repay them that do evil to him, up to how many generations? The fourth generation. Is God not generous? So in other words, God is seeking to do you good. In other words, when God has the opportunity to do good, he will extend his goodness for many reasons. Why we were told the story of an old woman. And I keep telling people, have God because of your children. Praise the Lord. If you think you've had it all, if you think you have arrived in heaven as you are right now, but please, for the sake of your children, do what? Serve God. Because God will be faithful to them up to how many generations? 1,000 generations. I listened to the sermon of a man of God. You may not like him. I don't know. But I just listened to his sermon not long ago. You know, when he was talking about what was going on. And he said, he started listing names of people who were in Nigeria, who were very, very wealthy. The Rosa, and he mentioned names of big people in Nigeria who were well known, that musicians sang of their names. He said, where are they today? Where are their names? What is standing to represent them today? And he made one statement. He said, you may build mansions if you have not built the people. The people you have not built will destroy the mansions. He said, but if you build the people will build mansions. So in other words, if we build our children, they will build what? Mansions. If we are not build our children and we build mansions for them, that will not be your lot in Jesus' name. What's going to happen? Praise God. So if there's any reason why you want to serve God, if you have arrived, okay, and you probably want to retire from serving God, please, because of your children, don't retire yet. Tell your neighbor, say, please don't retire. Because of your children, please don't retire. Uh-huh. Because it's very important that because of them, we don't retire, that we leave that mark. That is what they know us with. Because they will only do what they know that you do. Not what we say. We've said 80% of their behavior will be what? What we do. And 20% will be what? What we say. Praise the Lord. Have you ever wondered and asked yourself, why was Abraham chosen? He was a pagan like the rest of his family. And God called him out of Haran. And God said to him, and I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Somebody who had never known God before, who have never heard the voice of God before, suddenly God started talking to him and said, look, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that to you. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to make your name great because of you. The whole nation of the... Look, this was a man who was not educated. I'm sure his vision, what was his vision like? What did he even know? And God was saying, because of him, I used to think all the nations, but he says all the families of the earth will get to that place. So why was Abraham chosen? Who can answer that? Why did God choose to bless Abraham and to multiply him? Why? Why was Abraham? Why Abraham? Why not someone else? Eh? Yes? Because he chose to obey. Praise the Lord. Yes. Why did God not decide that it was going to be Abraham and not anyone else? We read it commonly. Eh? Okay, God chose him. Yes, he chose him because he loved him. Yes. Yes. But it was when he started walking with God that he showed faith. Right? Okay. Genesis 18:19, which we normally read. He said, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." In other words, the one who is going to squander the promises of God is not the one that God will choose. God said he had not, because he knows tomorrow from today. He said, "I know him. He will guide his children. He will lead them in the way of the Lord. Hence, the promises of God will be able to come to pass." The one that God will choose, that is going to squander the promises of God and not allow it to come to pass. Because let me tell you something, every time you are obedient to God, it is not just you that gets blessed, people get blessed through you. Because the blessings of obedience that follows your life will be overflowing, and it will flow to other people. That's the way it works. That was why when God was speaking to Abraham in chapter 12, verse 2, he said, "I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be what? A blessing." You will be a blessing in Jesus' name. In other words, you are chosen to be a blessing. You are chosen with a promise. The choice is with a promise. And God will fulfill his promise and covenant in the life of them who will transmit his goodness to other people. By what? By their obedience. That was why God chose Abraham. Because God already knew that he's an obedient man. That not only will the vision will not die with him. Go again, we've read Hebrews not long ago, how God said, even though they did not see it come to pass, they were ready to live for that vision. Because it didn't even come to pass during their lifetime. Yet, they, even in death, they kept the vision. Those are the kind of people that God wants to work with. Those are the kind of people that God has chosen. Those are the kind of people that God wants in the kingdom. That is why he has chosen you. He wants somebody who will carry the vision forth, not limit it to him or herself. That's why you see, I keep telling you, if you want to be a successful Christian, if you want to be a successful Christian, what do? Take what you know to other people, evangelize. I'm telling you. Because what makes you to risk your life and stand before people to proclaim Christ? Once you do that, God will back you up. He will not let you be put to shame. That's why, you see, I came here, how many weeks ago was it? The other week, and I was telling us about this lady in Victory Life Center. I said, she's got everything to lose. Name, what have you? All the achievements, she had everything. Yet she was bold enough to stand before the people and say, "Look, when you talk about marriage, oh, this is not it." Even though some people say, "Remove her name, do this." I saw her on the TV yesterday. She actually went to the stadium to watch the match, the women's tennis final. She was there to, you know. Of course, and the camera will always go to her to show her face. She chose just to make a choice and not be silent. God is looking for those who will transmit who will not allow his promises, because the fulfillment of this God was telling Jeremiah, as we read, that he had called him even before he was in his mother's womb. In fact, from the foundation of the world, every plan that God has made, I've told us, it's not a reaction, it's something that God had planned to do. And heaven has secured and ensured that everyone that gets washed in the blood automatically gets chosen. And that is why you are chosen. And that is why there is a need for a purging. One of the things that my wife and my kids often, what my wife says to my kids is, you know, when they bring in apples, we buy apples, they just go there and grab it. And their mom will say, "Have you washed it? Have you washed it?" So God will only choose those who have been purged and washed. I want us to open our Bible to 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. So it's not enough for us to have been chosen. It says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. In other words, after God has chosen you, there is a way you can cement it and make it everlasting. He said to make it sure. We have to do certain things. You have to read the preceding verses. You have to read the preceding verses. For example, you can start from, say, verse 3 or verse 2, where he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertains to unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." In other words, virtue, "whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature." In other words, we have to be partakers of the divine nature of Jesus, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. In other words, people who have not escaped the corruption that is in the world, that are people who are reformed, not transformed, they don't have their election what? Sure. They don't have their election sure. If we are reformed and not transformed, our election is not sure. Your election will be guaranteed in Jesus' name. But by doing what we have been urged to do. And to knowledge, okay. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. One of the things I learned, you know, at the conference is that they said the greatest assassin of a vision is what? How many of us listen? Impatient. He said it's the greatest assassin of a vision. In other words, if you have vision, even in this race, if we are not patient, we can crash. God will help us in Jesus' name. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." In other words, our fruitfulness too depends on all these things. "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." In other words, he that is not transformed, He cannot see what? Afar off. He's only seeing. And you find out that the cause of many things is that we cannot see afar off. We only, the need of now, the need of now, the need of now, the need of now, the need of now. Not what will happen in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, in 20 years' time. I was telling my wife, when I was working in one of the hospitals some years back, we had a little crisis. There was a lot of politics and what have you, you know, among the staff. And one day, the clinical director sent an email to all of us. And do you know what he said in the email? He said, "We are sworn. We play in a pond." He said, "In the process of our playing, if we drain all the water, where are we going to play tomorrow?" In other words, if in the process we destroy everything, he said, where will we be tomorrow? So it is not about just now and now and now. Everything we do, if we can see beyond now, in our choice making, if we can see beyond now, in our decision, if we can see beyond now, if we, in where we want, how we spend our money, if we can see beyond now, who our friends are, if we can see beyond now, the places we go, if we can see beyond now, to make your election sure. In other words, we have a role to make our election sure. He, God chose us not because we qualified, but he said now that he has chosen us, we have a responsibility, and that is to be led by the Spirit of God, because he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. They are the children of God. I want you to open your Bible to Exodus chapter 33, 14 to 16. Let me quickly share something with you there. We still have the Holy Communion. Exodus 33, 14 to 16. Again, I had Exodus 33 preached. It was like I've never heard it before. Praise the Lord. And I'm telling you, God is doing great and mighty things. What does he say? 14 to 16. "And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up thence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, and I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth." Now, the word I want you to just take note there in verse 16 is separated. Is the word separated. Remember when we started, we said, look, those who are chosen are actually separated. In other words, you see, when we choose to align ourselves with God and purge ourselves of the things we need to purge ourselves and make ourselves vessels unto honor, what is happening is this. God is saying that he's going to make a distinction between us and the people around us. He's going to make a distinction between your family and the next family. He's going to make a distinction. Look, today Christians are even afraid to see a distinction between them and the people around them. Meanwhile, God is actually saying that is what he's going to do, because that's what the presence of God in somebody's life does. That the moment he's present in your life, little starts to become much. There is a glow in the ordinary things of life that you do. Someone else may reproduce the same thing. That is why, look, I don't like people just, you know, the grace of God upon my life, I don't make it look, come on, somebody will say, oh, who, you see, are you not just, you are just like any other person you are there. Look, it is the grace of God upon your life that makes a distinction between you and the next person. So I don't just treat it like any other thing. I don't just treat it like if it's nothing.
We have to live in the consciousness of his presence, because that is what makes you different. I've told you before, when they say people, somebody is going to fail, I will tell you, that is not me. It's not my portion. I told you, when I finished, they told me that they no longer employ people, that there was no vacancy. And I told the person who told me, I said, look, because for me, if there's no position, they will create a position. And truly, when I started working, where I went to, they gave me a short-term contract. I was there. They called me. They said, do you want long-term contract? They called me and said, come and take the job. I didn't apply. I've told you, I've never applied for any job here. Even from coming from Nigeria, I didn't apply for job. Okay, they called me. My wife is a witness. I'm not saying it. I mean, I'm just giving testimony to the glory of God. Because his presence will distinguish you and separate you. Everyone may do the same thing and fail. But if you are in line with God and his presence is with you, how can you fail? You will not fail in Jesus' name. And somebody said, he said the reason that God did not show his face to Moses, you know, when Moses requested that he saw his face, he said, was because he wanted Moses to follow. He said, you can only see somebody's back if you are following them, isn't it? Praise the Lord. We will follow him in Jesus' name. That is what will ensure his presence in our lives. Of course, we know that God has expectations. He has expectations of us, because every blessing is conditional. Every blessing is conditional. Above all, I mean, the conditions for these blessings, or what God expects from us, include the fact that we must remain steadfast until our final deliverance comes. Matthew 10:22. We must live the life. Let's look at Colossians 1:20-23. We must live the life of the world. We must live the life of the world. Nobody, if you say you are spiritual and you don't live the life of the world, you are not spiritual. As somebody will say, you are spooky. If you don't live the life, I've told you, just last Sunday we said it. He said, because the word of God says, the word that I speak to you, they are what? They are spirit and they are life. And you say, God has spoken to me, and it's not in the Bible, it's not in line with the Bible. Oh no, please check it out. It's not likely that he has spoken. Because the spirit of God and the word of God, that is the same. That is the same. You must live the life. First Colossians chapter 2 and chapter 1, 20-23. It says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. 23. On one condition, in verse 23, can we read together? If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. If you do what? If you continue in the faith that we were called into. And of course, it has to be unwavering hope. Unwavering hope. He said, cast not away your confidence, for which there is a great recompense of reward. We must continue to hope, irrespective of what is happening around. We must do what? Continue to hope. We must continue to hope in our final deliverance. irrespective of New Age doctrines. We must continue. Some people said, in fact, I was reading an article, a woman said, one of the reasons the woman gave for coming against the woman of God that spoke is that, he said, because this Bible was written thousands of years ago. He said, how can it be relevant to today? What was she saying? What? Let me tell you something. What is it? Have we not tried to challenge? There is a couple, they had a child. The child is now 5 years old. It was only about a week or two ago that people got to know the sex of this child. Why? They just said they wanted to experiment. That, you see, they don't like people bringing up somebody as male and female. And so they bought pink dresses, they did everything. How many of us are aware of the story? They just refused to name the sex of this boy. And people are saying, look, this boy will have problems. You know, people just do anything that comes the wave they have in their head. They just do it. Let me tell you something. Because they don't have foundation. They float in the air. When you see people who, because we had this morning, no root, no fruit. Because they are not grounded. People who are not grounded, they will waver to and fro. They just do whatever appeals to them. I don't want to sound rude. I said, God, who created man and woman? He created us, and you can see the different body parts for different functions. Am I right? But some people would choose. I happen to be a psychiatrist. Please don't record this one. Oh. I happen to be a psychiatrist. But I don't see any science that tells me this right now. He expects that we depend upon him because he ensures our security. He ensures, you know, our needs are met irrespective of where we are, as long as we stay within the radar. Because God will always separate you from the other people. In Exodus chapter 8, verse 17 to 19. You know, you remember the magicians. Every time Moses and Aaron did one miracle, the magicians will come and do their own miracle. When he got to the fifth one, what happened to them? You see, he said Aaron struck the ground with his rod, and lies filled the whole land, animals and human beings. He said the magicians came to do the same thing. He said they could not do it. And the Bible said God just separated them. From that moment, there was a distinction. God will distinguish you in Jesus' name. Pharaoh's magicians could not work the magic anymore because somebody's freedom has come. Because it was time to set somebody free. Whatever is going to take God, God will do it to set you free in Jesus' name. He is the one that makes our lives special. In fact, I keep telling you, I don't need to have what someone else doesn't have to feel special. I can have what everyone else has, but I have Jesus in my life. Somebody also said, he said, a wet Peter. You remember? He said, a wet Peter is better than the disciple that stays in the boat. The word we hear today, what are we going to do with it? How much? At least Peter jumped and walked on water, even though he sank later. At least he tried. Praise the Lord. What about the people who sat in the boat all along? Who the word does not make difference to their lives. The word will make a difference to your life in Jesus' name. To be chosen is to be called into a blessing, because the covenant is part of the election. Jesus obtained a better covenant on better promises. And you will see those promises come to pass in your life in Jesus' name. And to be chosen marks the end of your struggles, because you can now start to operate under sufficient grace. That is enough grace. And that is why when you identify with God, certain things begin to happen, provided you do it diligently. He will reward you. You know, because he rewards those who diligently serve him. He rewards those who build up the kingdom, not those who destroy the kingdom. And he alone decides who to choose and who to reward. He will choose to reward you, and he will choose to bless you in Jesus' name. Can we rise on our feet, please? What he says he will do, he will do.
Can we just bring the elements, please, as we close?
God, before you took us from the kingdom of darkness and you translated us to the kingdom of your dear Son, which is light. Father, your light will shine through us in Jesus' name. Our lives will be a reflection of your powerful light in Jesus' name. Because you cannot fail, and you have never been known to fail, everything that pertains to us will not fail in Jesus' name. Our children will not fail. Our health will not fail. Our homes will not fail. Our visions will not fail. In the mighty name of Jesus, our walk with you will not fail. In the mighty name of Jesus, our plans will not fail. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Even as you make the resources of heaven available to us, we are stepping into greatness. Because you said to Abraham, I will make you great. Ah, Lord, you will make your people great in this land in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's share the grace in fellowship.